Elliot. It's we're having a little bit of a weird episode this week because I'm in the midst of moving all of my stuff within my room, and you're in Copenhagen in a hotel.
Yes, and I have also just moved house, and last week I couldn't record because I don't have internet in the house yet.
So, what a great time for the most important Counter-Strike tournament of the year.
You say that, it's actually very useful because I don't have internet in my house, so I had nothing to do for the next week. So, actually, just going to Copenhagen for 6 days is saving me.
So it's a very convenient point.
My internet's not coming until the 4th of April, so it's actually kind of useful.
If you hear any issues on this podcast, please don't yell at us because we're dealing with hotel internet and Logan's laptop. So we'll go through that.
The internet is so bad. There will be times where I will have to guess what Logan has just said because I'm cutting out mid-sentence semi-regularly.
This is going to be fucking great. Perfect. I love it.
Not about HLTV confirmed.
Intro. No, this is what happens when you have two extremely professional hosts.
We're professional. I'm not going to name the hotel I'm in. That'd be weird. But it's their fault, really. It's not to do with me.
All right. Let's talk about the group stage. Because we had Scoopster on last week. We talked about the opening playing stage a bunch. But we didn't actually get to talk about what was going to come in the group stage. So we can kind of go through the whole thing right now. Let's start with the 3-0 teams. Because I think these were kind of expected. I picked both of them in my pick'ems. I think a lot of others did actually as well. I think let's start with the more obvious one. Donk and company.
Yeah, I don't know. Donk's really, really good, dude. Like, even when he's not the best player in the server, he just has so much impact, and that you have to devote so much time to stopping Donk that you don't stop Shiro, you don't stop Zontix, you don't stop Majix, you don't stop Chopper even sometimes. Like, Chopper has these pop-off games where he becomes unstoppable. Not too dissimilar to, like, Boomich, where Boomich, even before he was AWPing, would just have these random pop-off games where he was just the best player in the server, and he just dragged his team along with him for the ride. Chopper does it with some of the worst crosshair placement you'll see in a pro player as well. It's amazing. Like, he'll aim at the feet, or he aims at, like, the middle of the body and then just flicks upwards for every shot. It's great. Like, if you could do it consistently, you'd be so good. Imagine if he just AWP. He'd be so good. He actually is just Boomage.
But he has Shiro to do that. Why would he ever need to?
Obviously he doesn't need to, but if he wanted to pad some stats for a while, he could.
All right, the other team that went 3-0, I think, is a little bit more of a surprise, but not a huge surprise either. It's Mouse Sports. We've been singing the praises of Mouse Sports for a while. They continue to seem like they are better and better at every single, like, point, and the addition of Broland seems to have helped not hurt them in, like, a major way.
Doing this? He lost his best player and replaced him with a guy who was kicked from NIP, and they've not looked any worse.
They've looked great.
Like, they're just, like, Suhi is a genius. There's just no other way of putting it. He's just a genius.
He must be.
I actually don't understand how they can be this good with Broland, because I've watched Broland play for years, and he's not as good as Frozen. He isn't this good. I don't know what's going on. He might choke in playoffs. I'm pretty sure I had Mouse and Spirit as my two teams that were going to win a major this year in a major in a, like, big predictions episode at the start of the year. So
I'm
feeling very smart right now. I might feel a little bit less smart come next week.
Yeah, I think unfortunately I had Liquid as one of them, and I have thoughts about that at this point.
Yeah, that went perfectly bad. I mean, this is still time.
There's two majors this year. All right. The second set of teams that advanced, the 3-1 teams. Here's the thing. The very interesting thing is that if you had told me ahead of time rank of these teams, I probably would have come out with roughly what happened.
Yeah, for the most part.
So, Cloud9's our next team. They look good. I think a surprise to everyone, especially because of the Bumichop and all that stuff. But they look really good.
Cloud9 a quarterfinals team. I'll be surprised if they're a finals team or a semifinal team, especially as I'm pretty sure they're going to make changes after the major. Oh, have I dropped? Okay.
I just expected you to talk more about the changes you thought they were going to make after the major.
Well, but I'm pretty sure that they're just going to get an offer. I just don't think...
That seems overrated.
Well, I agree, because I actually think Boomers is doing a very good job at it, but I do think they'll just... I think they'll get an offer and maybe one more. I actually think it's odd. Cloud9 signed the Gambit team, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the start of next season, as it were, there's just none of that five left. Exile has been the most disappointing part of this roster, and Hobbit is the most cuttable if you're going to get an AWPer. So I wouldn't be surprised if it just turned out there was just none of them left. They paid so much money to get Gambit, and then they just got rid of it.
Yeah, but they did take it as a nice stepping point to get the Na'Vi major winning roster minus Simple. Yeah,
but
and Bit.
The major winning roster without Simple, it's still great, don't get me wrong. But Simple was clearly it's the missing best Simple. Player in the world at that point in time, and for large portions of time, to be honest. But
yeah,
he was far and away the best player in the world at that point. Is that team the same without Simple in it? It remains to be seen.
I don't know. we don't have a one-to-one, and realistically, it seems that Cloud9 is doing well, but I don't know. I don't think they're doing as well as Prime Simple winning a major doing well. There's,
there's only three players who've ever had events that match up to Simple at Stockholm, and there's Zai Wu. You can pick an event. There's loads of them. There's Nico at New York, and there's Dong at Katowice. Other than that, nobody's ever been that good, as far as I'm aware.
Fucking Dong.
Yeah, Dong's really good, man.
So good. Really good. Next team on the list, Vitality. They were good. They've been good. I don't have much to Zaiwu is still one of the best players in the world, and they've kind of figured out how to play with the Israelis at this point.
They seem to be the most fallible version of Vitality we've seen in, probably since Paris. They're clearly good, and you wouldn't bet against them winning the major. You wouldn't bet against them winning against anyone. But they seem to have a bit of a softer underbelly than they've had in the past. They seem to actually lose games that they wouldn't have done before. They just seem a bit fallible, and I would probably give them 55-45 against Cloud9, but any more than that, I don't know. I don't think I do.
We'll talk about the matchups that are in the next round in a minute. I think the most I'm going to say surprising, although for anyone that's listened to this podcast for any length of time knows it's not particularly surprising to us, which is the Eternal Fire lineup getting through 3-1 with Gentaris and Wakadia.
Yeah, no, so legit.
Woxic looks so good again. He looks like Mouse Sports Woxic.
Sometimes. Not always.
Okay, yeah. Major is coming out and saying, I actually don't really speak Turkish all that well, even though he's Turkish. Yeah, and she still calls
from
great.
What I
get like
from reading from like Turkish fans is that's kind of like him being humble. You know, when somebody's like, "Oh, I apologize for my poor English," and they speak in like perfect English. It's like it's kind of like that. From what I gather, I don't speak Turkish, so I can't actually speak to the accuracy of that. But he seems like quite a humble guy anyway, so it wouldn't surprise me.
This team is very good. If you have to play in playoffs against this Eternal Fire team, I would be scared.
Yeah, like nobody wants. The thing is, there's no team that got through that you'd want to play against. But I don't think Eternal Fire are the. They would never be my first. But you know how is it in League of Legends where you get to pick your like semi finalist in some formats?
Yeah.
If you're picking your quarterfinal opponent, I don't think you pick Eternal Fire.
No matter what seed they come in as.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
They're scary.
I think genuinely you'd pick one of two of the 3-1 teams, maybe Cloud9, honestly.
I could go between Cloud9 and... we'll talk about let's talk about the other three teams, because I think that there's a big gap between the three... So there's the 3-0 teams, which are really fucking good, which we kind of skipped over quickly, but they're really fucking good.
They look like
there's the 3-1 teams who are really good, but not as good as Mouse Spear.
What I will
right
say about the 3-0 teams is...
And then the 3-2 teams...
Sorry, what I will say about the 3-0 teams is that Mouse haven't really been tested yet, and we know they're really good, but they've played one BO3... And it was a complete blitz of Complexity, who ended up not getting through. They've not played anyone good yet, and I know that's kind of
they played Eternal Fire.
Yeah, fine. Like, but my point is that we haven't seen them in the BO3. They're about to play their first BO3 against a good team on stage, which is obviously a big step up. I don't think it'll bother them, to be honest. I think they're quite level headed, but. Like, they are about to play a big BO3. Probably, for some of them, it's one of the biggest BO3s they've played this far. I mean, they're about to play against a better team, and we'll really see how good they are. We know Spirit. We know the Spirit roster is unbelievable. Even there, you could say at this event, they've not been tested that much, but they did just go and win Katowice at an absolute fucking canter, so...
Yeah, without like trying too hard, it felt like. So the 3-2 teams, though, they feel like they're in a group of their own. They feel close. I know this sounds really dumb, but they feel closer to the 2-3 teams than they do to the 3-1 teams. They all the 3-2 teams feel really beatable to me, and it also feels like you could take any of the teams that went 2-3. And replace them in the 3-2 bit, and I'd feel pretty confident about them finishing roughly the same. It feels like all three of those teams are just kind of weak right now.
I think, to be honest, I kind of feel like every team other than Spirit feels beatable. And I mean, Spirit aren't completely infallible. They're not that experienced on stage, but they do seem like the best team in the world. But everyone seems beatable. Like Cloud9 still don't have an AWP, so there's a little bit of uncertainty about the way they play. They're clearly really good, obviously, but how many Na'Vi teams have we seen that look like this Cloud9 team and then don't win? Vitality seem more beatable than ever. Na'Vi don't really have the firepower, the depth of firepower. G2 are G2. Don't need to say any more than that. FaZe Clan aren't the same FaZe Clan they were like 6, 12, 18 months ago. Even Mouse, like, there are question marks about Brolin on stage. Like, yes, he has been really good on this Mouse scene, but when they last got to playoffs, he wasn't that good. He did fall off on stage, and that is a concern. And every team other than, like, this really is Team Spirit's major to lose. And if Team Spirit show up at their peak level, I don't think anyone takes a map off them. I honestly don't.
I think I'm agreeing here on that point. Let's talk about these 3-2 teams. So the first, which personally for me, I feel is the most beatable, is G2. Yeah.
G2 are clearly the weakest team in the top eight, I think. But that that doesn't really mean much because...
I think G2 is the weakest team right now. Dot, dot, dot. Unless they change how they play, because there is a strong possibility that they could be like a top four team if, you know, if the promised holy land of Nico, Monacy, Hunter all exist at the same time happens, then like, hey, wait, maybe they are like a top four team here.
There is a world where Monacy just wins the major, like just by sheer force of nature. Like, it's not impossible. Every team in the top eight can win, and every team in this top eight can lose. Like obviously, right? But fucking... even though I'm saying G2 are clearly the weakest team, their peak is ridiculous. And if they just... like, we've seen last year, Kato and Cologne, they didn't come in great form, but they just fucking turned up, and they just smashed everyone. It's not out of the realms of possibility they just do that again. Like... they only have to win three games. And I know it's three games, but that's all it is. You're three games away from winning the major.
Yeah.
Monacy can carry for three games. Nico can now, carry for three games. They start with Mouse, right? So, like, we've just said, like, Mouse haven't really been tested anything.
They do have the... They have the quote unquote easier side of the bracket. I don't want to let's hold off on on the playoff bracket bit until let's keep pushing through teams. But there is a world where G2 can kind of easily get through, but it's going to be a rough world either way. FaZe is the next team up. FaZe is the next team up. I think FaZe are kind of having a little identity crisis right now. But on the other hand, this is how FaZe look at every single major ever. So,
yeah, FaZe are about the only team that you never want to play. FaZe is what I guess is what I'm trying to say. Even if, I've all just said about Team Spirit, if they show up, nobody beats them. If they're clearly the best team. You almost give FaZe the best chance of beating Team Spirit, even though they're probably the sixth or seventh best team. Probably sixth. Maybe fifth.
Yeah.
They're probably the sixth best team in the top eight, but you just kind of get the feeling they could do Spirit. Like, where you don't get that feeling with some of the other teams. It's my read on it, anyway.
I think I'm kind of in the same boat. I am terrified of playing FaZe in any match.
I'm glad I don't have to.
Like, you... Yeah, really. But, like, there's... FaZe have always seemed to get better when they reach a stage. They reach that, like, second level. They go into overdrive. They hit the Dominic Toretto Nas. Like, they fucking bolt, right? The second that they get on a stage, Kerrigan feeds off the energy, and it's a home arena for Kerrigan. And there's an amount that has to really be taken into that, because that's one of those things you can't just say like, oh, it's a home game for the Americans and no one cares, like Liquid in Dallas or whatever. I guess Liquid is a bad example anymore, but like the American team in Dallas. But like
with Kerrigan, it's different. And Team Spirit have been on a stage in Katowice, but that was a neutral crowd. Donk was the baby face. Against Kerrigan, Donk is the heel. He's the villain, dude. Like, he's had the crowd on it. He, like, fucking forced that entire crowd to bend to his will. He cannot do that in Denmark versus Kerrigan. That crowd will be against him, and this is... I don't think it'll affect him, but Spirit, you go, like, 4-5-0 down against FaZe, Kerrigan stands up and does the clap during your timeout, and they rush A and they break you again. You go 6-0 down. I'm not sure Spirit come back from that. Like, that's... If Spirit are going to lose, that's kind of how I think it's going to happen. Is they're going to call a timeout at 4-0 down, Kerrigan's going to clap and rush A on Nuke, and it's game over, bro. It's game over. Like, you don't shut that down, it's game over. You just lose. You lose probably 13-2, and that's it.
Okay, I'm making a quick note here. I'm turning the load data mode on, which turns off our video. So just make sure you're in your frame, but that should help with the the other issues. Hopefully. Okay. Continuing. The last team here is a team that I really don't know what to think about, man. So Na'Vi have been this team that have been okay and good for the entire year, and they kind of feel like they're getting somewhere. But I keep looking at this team and I go, what the fuck is going on in this team?
Yeah. So Na'Vi are good, but you wouldn't go much further than that. Like, they're a top eight team, but they're not. I don't think they're a finals team. They're like maybe a plucky semi-finals team. I actually think Eternal Fire versus... I think it's Eternal Fire Na'Vi, right? That's actually quite a good draw for both of them. I think both of them are probably quite happy and look at that and think, we can fucking win here. We can go to the semi-finals. But they are... Na'Vi will be the underdog in any match they play in this top eight. They have to hope that basically... this is just the replay of Katowice 2018, where Ents, now Na'Vi, just like Alexi B's team, just underdogs their way to the final and then gets spanked by the winners, which in that case would be Astralis, and this would probably be Team Spirit, who were like de facto the best team in the world.
Yeah.
I think that's their peak, is losing in the finals. I'm really excited to watch Eternal Fire.
But I think that the probability of them actually getting to the finals just seems so low. We'll talk about it. Let's push through the lower teams and then we'll come back to the bracket, because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff on it. 2-3 teams: Pain, Virtus Pro, and Complexity. Let's start with Pain, the team that nobody thought was going to make. Everyone put Pain 3-0. Sorry, 0-3 on their opening, and then they put them 0-3 again in this stage.
I mean, I kind of get it. Like, people really believe, like, really drank the Kool Aid that Pain were really bad, just because it was like, oh, actually, no, Liquid are really good, and Pain shouldn't have got through. People, for whatever reason, will always disrespect Brazilian teams that they don't know that well. But dude, Big Uzera is just so good. Like, every version of this roster, he just makes it work. Like, there's no one else on this team that you look at and go, yeah, no, this is a player you can see moving up. This is a player you could see Furia wanting. Like, it's all Big Uzera. Like, it's just all him, and it always seemingly has been. NQZ was like a hype prospect once, but hasn't looked that good here. Kawes, yeah, well,
once.
Kawes, flashes of brilliance, but kind of middle of the road. And Lux and Nissim are like fine, but they're not standout players. It was just like Big Uzera dragged them through the opening stage, and he almost dragged them to playoffs. But there was always kind of a feeling they were a 2-3 at best.
But also big props to Big Uzera for dragging them that far. Because, like, even you and I, who, like, we're Big Uzera truthers at the end of the day. We've said Big Uzera has been good for a little bit. Neither of us saw this.
Big Uzera is so good, man. Like the fact that he's now the leader and he's still their best player and he still does everything for this team. There isn't any part of the game he isn't really good at. Like, we've seen him carry, we've seen him as an anchor, we've seen him as a support, like, some more supportive player. We've seen him as a leader. Like, maybe he's not a great entry fragger, I don't know. I imagine he'd probably be quite good at it. But, like, he does a lot of things very well, and calling around yourself isn't always a good thing, but also if you're the best player on your team, it kind of is. And as long as you actually carry, which he did in quite a few games, it's pretty fair enough. Like, if you carry and you call around yourself, that's fine.
This kind of this kind of feels like what the Blame F Astralis should have looked like, right? Yeah. Or what Blame F wanted it to look like, where he calls around himself and he brings the team through. But it was a very different way of it happening at the end of the day.
I mean, like, Blame F sort of can do it, but he also had much better talent on Astralis, and I think he kind of got lost in the sauce. I don't know. I'm not sure he knows how to carry in the same way. Like Big Uzera said, he's been carrying pianos on his back his whole life. So,
great.
What a quote. Insane. No sense.
Virtus Pro.
A VP just so unlucky.
We can actually talk a little bit. We can talk a little bit more about Virtus Pro, but can we plug a thing here on Virtus Pro?
Part of the reason I was so keen,
because this will come out by the time.
So part of the reason I was so keen to see VP go through is there is a big James feature piece in the inaugural TLDR magazine that's being distributed to spectators, talent, fucking anyone who wants it at the Copenhagen Major. We spent like 3 weeks probably writing, designing, talking about this magazine internally, and we finally got it to come to life, and we're giving it away to people here. And I wrote a piece called Welcome to James Ascension, about how I really think James is one of the greatest in-game leaders of all time, and I think people don't give him the flowers because of his style, and because I actually think a lot of it is because he's Russian. He doesn't speak English. We don't hear that much about him. So people kind of forget he's there. But the guy, I mean, he's a major winner. He's consistently had VP in the top 10. Maybe he doesn't have that many accolades, but neither does Alexei B. And people rate him. I mean, he's actually won a major for a start, and probably has had a lesser amount of talent. So I actually think James is very underrated, and I wrote a piece about him hoping they would get through, and they should have done. They really should have done. And bro, that was some bullshit, wasn't it? I mean, the thing is, you can't blame anyone. It's not PGL's fault. It's kind of NVIDIA's fault, but like blaming NVIDIA.
I'm calling a time here. Elliot is now referring to James crashing in the middle of the last map in the exact same spot where he killed Stododo to prevent, at that point, Saw from qualifying to the major before. He got killed at Nubox because his computer crashed. After the fact, we found out it was because of an NVIDIA driver crash, but a lot of people were blaming PGL, were blaming Counter-Strike. Across the board, but it was an NVIDIA thing. But either way, give context because not everyone saw it.
He crashed. There was also a situation in map 3 where I believe Mir or Flit, I can't remember who it was. It was either Mir, Flit or Fame lost a clutch where they tried to jump into heaven on the A site of Anubis. And they got
on Anubis.
Like, the world just doesn't want you to win. Like, it's, and James, to his credit, took it very gracefully, but he's out and he doesn't really deserve to be. But sometimes it's just how they cook your own.
It does like, suck like, either way.
James smart enough to know that isn't the only reason they lost, and also like shit happens, man. Like, he's already won a major. He doesn't fucking have anything to prove to anyone. Like, he's already won. Like, what does he have to prove at this point? Like, he didn't get to the playoffs of this major, but like, there's nothing more Virtus Pro. All right,
you can read more about James.
There's nothing more Virtus Pro than like saying, oh, well, we missed out on this major, let's save for the next one.
All right, well, you can read more about James and his journey in the mag if you're in Copenhagen. That's our one plug.
And hopefully online afterwards.
We are now legally not obligated to plug anymore.
Potentially afterwards.
Yeah. the last 2-3 team probably deserves a longer bit, but we're not going to give it to them. Complexity were that team that started out 2-0 in the best of ones and then absolutely floundered their way to be 2-3.
Yeah, Complexity were not good. Like, they won two best of ones and then, yeah, they got absolutely trounced by Mouse and then just never seemed to recover. I'm like trying to adjust, so uncomfortable. And they just got trounced by Mouse and never recovered. Their coach came out and was like, yeah, when we're just like not communicating with each other. It's like, you're 2-0. How are you like tilted already?
Yeah, it did just kind of feel like they gave up after that. I don't have a huge amount more to say on that because it really felt like two different teams, right? They looked aggressive. They looked they just looked really good in the first two, in those best of ones. And the second they got to the best of three, the second they faced any sort of adversity, it felt like they just kind of floundered. It felt like they just didn't know what was going on anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, what can you say? They didn't win a best of three and they got absolutely blitzed by Mouse in one of them. Like, it's just... I mean, it's disappointing in a sense because they started so well, but it's also just no less than... Like, you weren't expecting them to go top eight, so it's kind of a reversion to the mean.
No. Yeah. I do want to give props. There's one bit of props to give, which is Jason Lake for bringing out the old logo jerseys.
Yeah.
Plus rep on that.
I know this might be an unpopular opinion, but the current Complexity jerseys are actually just so much nicer.
They absolutely are. The old logo is kind of just trash, but it's nostalgic for me from like my old Call of Duty days. So
nostalgic, sure. I actually think the blue and white ones.
I love that.
The current Complexity jerseys, like the blue white ones, are actually kind of fire. I can't lie. Mm.
No, they are good. I have no qualms. I absolutely did order the old logo shirt the second it came out, but I wouldn't have ordered the jersey. Again, nostalgia bits. Okay, let's get further down in the list. The 1-3 teams. We'll start with Imperial, the team that no one really thought was going to make it here anyway, and then they went 1-3.
Yeah, I mean, kind of better than expected. Like, you kind of look at Imperial saying, yeah, well, fair play. Well done. You weren't expected to be here. You were expected to go 0-3 even when you got here. You've consistently overperformed. I just want to say it's nice to see Phelps and Henny back at the top. I know people don't like particularly like them because I don't think people particularly like Brazilians. Phelps and Henny are two of the most exciting players to watch when they're playing well. And it's just nice to see players. I think it's always nice to see a player who used to be good just show up every now and then. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I think there's other Brazilian moves that we'll talk about after, but let's keep moving on. Heroic.
Yeah, disappointing.
They won that opener against FaZe, which it kind of means nothing at one point that you won an opener against FaZe because FaZe always do this kind of thing. And then they couldn't find their feet. Like, it just...
Yeah, right. They lost games they just shouldn't.
It felt like this was a team that had been... It was a team that just had only been together for 2 or 3 months and they just could not remember how to play together.
Yeah, I don't really know what the solution is. I think the solution is you give this team more time because the pieces are fine. Like, even... I think the piece people were most worried about was Nikodos, and I think he's actually looked quite good. So I think you just sort of give this team a few more months and see what happens. But yeah, no, this was a really disappointing performance, I think.
I'm in for that. I think that most of the teams that were here that made it this far, some of them do just need more time, right? There are teams here that don't need more time, but like, if you're looking at Heroic, like, they were put together like a month and a half ago for the RMRs, and so now we're here and they're good. But they just couldn't make it to the playoffs.
Happens.
the big sad one, and this is not a like an actual like I am sad about it, but a overall sad kind of thing, is that the Cinderella story of the tournament, the Ecstatic roster, which was the only full Danish roster in the tournament, didn't make it through to the stage.
This team is good, but just doesn't have the firepower.
Neither am I, but it seems that this team, they performed well past their expectations, and I think that that's no one is upset that they performed past their expectations. I think everyone's kind of happy about
that. It's kind of nice to see them do okay, but like,
except for Zipel, who's probably
but I guess
annoyed.
It's nice to see them do well, but you know, time to step aside and let the big boys play. Almost like not like that sounds really disrespectful, but it's like they'll admit themselves they aren't as good as the teams you've got in the top eight. And they will learn a lot more from playing against them than before. Like, and I think for some of the players, especially, I'm thinking like, I think it's pronounced like Krauen, like, but it's spelled like Kragen. I think it's like a Krauen. Sure.
Yeah.
I think for him, especially, his stock has risen. Like anyone who's watched Ecstatic in the past knows that he is good, but I think the like how good he is, I think was surprising to nearly everyone. Like he leveled up, and I think that was sort of his, this has been sort of his event where he's been like, yeah, no, he's the next one from the Danish teams. Like he's versatile and very skilled.
Yeah,
but I do think there was a lack of like firepower depth, and that's to be expected. I think Zipel came out and said like they don't have the resources of some of these teams, that like they can't go and sign these superstar teams, and the fact that they've done so much pretty consistently as well. I mean, let's not forget they lost their IGL like 3 months ago, 6 months ago to M80, and they've not skipped a beat.
And M80's recycled that IGL already.
Like fair fucking play. Like they weren't expected to go this far. And like again, you can't look at a 1-3 for Ecstatic and be upset at all. Like they look at this and go, it's gutting we didn't make it, but fucking hell, we came closer than fucking 90% of teams. 90% of teams around them. I think teams who spend as much as they do, and fair play. Like,
I think the other big thing is this allows them to go out and try and get better with the amount of money that they spend, because they're running on sticker money now.
I don't actually know who they could like look at to improve, and I don't think that's necessarily the answer either. Like it kind of feels like there might be one roster move away if they find like a superstar, like a hidden superstar, like sort of like Eternal Fire did with Wakadia is what I'm thinking. Like Eternal Fire were kind of probably slightly worse this time last year than like Ecstatic are now, and they got that one move that really like turned them into a great team. Maybe that's Ecstatic. But finding that one move is really hard, especially when you're limited to one nation.
The last two teams for us to talk about are the Mongols and Furia.
Yeah.
And there's a very easy story for the Mongols, which is they tried as fucking hard as they could, but it wasn't the event for them.
I think they've lost their Brazilian Slayer title. Is not ideal. They made a name for themselves of killing these Brazilian teams, and they've kind of lost that shine. But they, even in losses, they looked quite good. Like they weren't completely outclassed, I think, is what I would say. Like they weren't totally outclassed in any game.
No.
Again, they feel really close, but dude, 9-10 is a problem. He's just not good enough. And Annihilation also, I don't think was good enough as an AWPer. As a clutch player, he was great, but he couldn't AWP. 9-10 gave away so many rounds, like just in the most frustrating ways, like just over peaking. Or like, one thing I will say is it takes bollocks to be having a bad game and still go for aggressive plays. And fair play to him, he was having a terrible game to these. And he was like, I'm going to do what I think is right, which is go for the aggressive play. It hasn't worked, but this is what I think is the right play. And I will say I respect him for doing that. But it's only the right play if you're the right player. And he's just not good enough.
Yeah. And then Furia is the other team, and I don't even know where you begin with Furia, because I feel like every time we talk about Furia in this, we just say it needs a complete like meltdown. You take Caserato and build around Caserato, like, and I'm going to say it again.
Fallen, they spent like 600k to have Fallen as an AWP and not an IGL, and then great. Now you just got a slightly worse AWP. You've spent lots of money.
I don't know what to say about this team anymore.
I kind of get, actually.
Realistically, this team shouldn't have made it into the group stage, but they did.
I get it, but like it just hasn't worked, unfortunately.
No. And the other problem is like the on the surface move that you could do if you're like a European or an American fan that goes, hey, why don't they just pick Big Uzera up to IGL instead of Art? Big Uzera probably has a buyout that's somewhere between $600,000 and $1 million without thinking too hard about it.
Yeah,
it's not a cheap move to make.
No, it isn't. But then neither was Fallen, and they did that.
Let's Yeah. let's look at the bracket now. There's four opening matches. We'll do our normal pick'ems. We just we won't screen share this time for internet's sake. But we'll verbalize them. Cloud9 Vitality. You said before this was like 55-45 Vitality.
Yeah, I think I'd give it 55-45 to Vitality. Cloud9 shouldn't be able to deal with Zywoo, but they also, by that metric, should have been 3-1, and they were. I think Cloud9 actually beat them last time out as well, if I'm rightly. Vitality seem more fallible than ever, and I think that game's really hard to call. I think either team could win 2-0, and you'd feel like you should have seen it coming. That's kind of it's one of those where it's like whatever happens, you feel like you should have seen coming. But you can't.
Yeah. I think it's a Vitality. I think at the end of the day, it's if Zywoo is playing well, I think it is hard to deal with him as an AWPer without another star AWPer on the other side. And while Boomich has been good in his stead as the AWPer, he's not good enough to shut Zywoo down.
But there is also an element to which you don't beat Zywoo in a fair fight. Like AWP v AWP, there aren't many AWPers that dominate him. So there may be Sun Pius, but like the times we've seen him wobble have actually been when it's like it's actually been an aggressive rifler. It's actually been like, you remember Cypher for Into the Breach at that major, like he rocked him. It happened with Nico and somebody else as well, where it's like the times you actually beat Zywoo are not fair fights. They're not AWP v AWP. It's maybe running five rifles is how you beat him. I don't know. Like, it sounds crazy, but like, maybe that's actually, maybe his kryptonite is not having an offer to play against. I don't fucking know.
I got nothing, man. If I knew how to beat Zywoo, I'd be a very high paid coach.
Yeah, well, like, big Zywoo is uncounterable. That's kind of the problem. But I don't think he's at peak Zywoo levels at the moment. So, Vitality are beatable.
I don't think so either. Spirit Phase. This matchup sucks because, on paper, this should be a Spirit win every single day of the week.
Oh,
right.
Oh, I'm back. Sorry, but I completely. I'm back.
On paper, the Spirit Phase match should be Spirit every single day of the week. But we talked about this before, that there's this unspoken rule of Phase are better on LAN. Kerrigan is at home and on LAN. And that just means that FaZe gets such a huge buff that this match becomes way closer than it probably should be.
I said it earlier. I'll say it again. The team I think are most likely to beat Team Spirit are FaZe Clan. And if FaZe Clan win this, it blows the whole major wide open. It's, again, like, I want to say Spirit are going to win because I think Spirit are the better team. I think they've shown they're the better team. They were clearly the better team at Katowice. And Donk is probably the best player in the world. But it's FaZe Clan on a stage.
In Denmark.
Neither team wants this matchup. Like, they're both like, fuck, this is the hardest game we could have got. But yeah, like I say, if anyone's going to beat Spirit, I think it's FaZe Clan.
So I filled out my pick'ems already. I put Spirit here. I'm sticking on Spirit.
I think Spirit win.
If this goes sideways, I think
Spirit win. But like again,
like it's so easily
5-0 and Chaffa calls a timeout and Carrigan stands up and claps. It's fucking game over. It's game over. When he starts clapping, it's game over. Like this is Eternal Fire Navi. Carrigan 30 bomb game. That's what this is. This is a Carrigan 30 bomb game. Mm-hmm. If ever I've seen one.
This is Carrigan starts secondary opping. That's what this is. I don't know why, but I have a vibe. Eternal Fire Navi. I'm leaning pretty heavy Eternal Fire here.
The better team, but I think like I said earlier, I think both teams will look at this and think this is winnable. Navi will look at Eternal Fire and go, we can match them.
It's always concerning when you look at Navi.
Outthink them. Eternal Fire.
Go, well, they have Bit and Ima and JL and
That's like,
yeah.
It largely hinges on the individuals of Xantares and Wakadia, I think. If those two show up, I don't think Navi can live with them. it's kind of like a system versus individuals thing, I think.
I got nothing. Like I think it's Eternal Fire. But this is another close match. All right, last one on the books. Mao is against G2. I'm pretty certain Mao is going to win this. Now, there's a stipulation here, which is Mao can win this if Monacy is not the best player in the world at that given moment in time. Which he absolutely can be.
It's Monacy versus Torzy. We play Academy League. That's what it is.
And who won that?
Monacy. I don't know. It's really, really impossible to call. Again, like, Mouse are the better team.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, G2 are like the Tottenham Hotspur. You don't bet against them, you don't bet for them, you don't bet on G2. You just don't. It's a bad idea. I couldn't tell you which G2 is going to turn up. If the good one turns up,
I'm putting Mouse. I don't have a reason why. I really don't. There's some part of me that just has a vibe that says Mouse will win, but realistically, this is...
Look, there was some divine intervention also to even close. Get G2 here. Somebody somewhere wants G2 to win.
All right. Semifinals, Vitality versus Spirit. This feels way a little bit more decisive for me into the Spirit angle. And then Eternal Fire versus Mao's or G2, because I'm putting Mao's. Okay. I'm in on it.
I just kind of got a feeling G2 didn't do them. I don't really know why.
So I was gonna say that at the end of the day, I think whoever wins the Mao's G2 match probably beats Eternal Fire in the semis.
Yes. I think Eternal Fire.
If G2 are in as good a form as to be able to beat Mouse, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would mean a grand final of Spirit versus, depending on your run, Mouse or Eternal Fire.
Win regardless.
So I said Mavs win. Wow. I've put my pickums in. I haven't touched them.
Respect.
Yeah.
I respect it. You're wrong, but I respect it.
I think if there's a time to be wrong, it's kind of now on this one, right? Like I feel like Mavs are kind of having their own story book version of this, right? Of like bringing Brolin in and becoming this better team, and Brolin kind of fighting his own demons of being on Nip for a while and all that stuff. And I know Donk has all of this Donkness coming into
Donk's
it, but
the chosen one, man, he's the chosen one.
But the chosen, the other chosen ones, right? You go look at Simple, you go look at Zywoo. It took them a while to win their first major.
Yes, but it also took them a long time to win their first Katowice. Didn't take Donk that long. Zywoo still hasn't won a Katowice.
And Simple did it in conjunction with the major.
No, he didn't.
What am I talking about? It's just that's absolutely a lie. Okay.
I was ooh, okay. Myself for a second there.
We love spreading misinformation.
G2 won it.
All right. So I'm putting Mavs as my major winner. You're putting Spirit. I think realistically, either are two viable candidates for winning. Quick stuff at the end before we get going. There are three roster moves that we need to talk about, and not a huge amount of detail. The first is Dupree over to Falcons, which is a move that they made.
I'm as Dupree-pilled as one can be. I just don't see why you need Dupree, Madden, and Majisk on one team as well as Snappy. Like, it just feels like
they don't have a star.
Well, it would be Sun Pius. He hasn't been that good on TS2, but the idea is that Sun Pius is the star. You know, no pun intended. Like, but Dupree, Magic, Madden are all like soldiers. They're all like they all do their role really well. But yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe
they are role players.
The thing is,
in the day.
No matter what I say, no matter what any of us say, Snappy has forgotten more about Counter-Strike than I will ever know. So if Snappy thinks it's a good move, fuck it. I think it's a good move.
M80's IGL woes have been solved, maybe. Like they're bringing Sin from Big. Also a Fragadelphia 17 finalist.
I like
know.
This move a lot.
Already has plenty of experience playing in a room with NA. So do I. I think this makes sense for everyone across the board, and also gives Slacks another German in the room, which can kind of be a help when you're away from home. But across the board, this feels like a good move. And Sin, it has always been a good rifler. He IGL'd for Big Academy, but he's always just been a good rifler too. They tried him on Big as just a pure rifler, and it
was
fine.
He was originally
brought
up
until they decided they wanted.
And decided to do it again. So, yeah. No, I think this move makes a lot of sense.
And then the last move, which is the what the fuck move of the week. So Legacy of Bench Cold Zera, which is not that what the fuck, really, because that kind of makes sense. But instead of bringing up the new Brazilian prospect or anything like that, they've they're bringing Stewie in.
Like, just an impossibly funny move. Respect. It's so mental that I have to believe they've really thought this through, because there's no way this isn't thought. You can't just bring back Stewie as a Brazilian team. You can't just
Full Brazilian team minus Stewie.
Really thought about this and decided to do it. So I don't want to say it's not going to work, because
it's not
going to
work.
They've thought about it and they think it's going to work. And like, who am I to say?
So last time Stewie played in competitive Counter-Strike was with Mythic in ECL, and he looked mediocre at best.
Only two good American teams ever. So, like, I don't particularly like Stewie. I'll be honest with you. I don't particularly like Stewie. I think he's a bit whiny. I think he's a bit annoying. And I never thought he was that good. But I've sort of, like, when you look back at him historically, he's got accolades, and he was part of two good teams, and those teams were never as good without him. I don't know. Maybe Stewie's good. Like, and I just look.
Stewie Truther,
North America needs a hero. Maybe it's Stewie 2K again. That's all I'm saying.
In South America.
Like, you're already supporting Payne at the major anyway.
All right. That's where we're going to end for this week, I think. He won't be a worse offer than Cold Zero.
He won't be a worse offer than Cold Zero.
All right, that's where we're going to end for this week. You can find us online at LoganRamHub, at AZSK, and at RetLDR. We'll be back in next week. We'll have a major champion. Elliot will have the internet, maybe. And you may have a TLDR magazine, physically or virtually. I know, it'll be cool. You'll get yours before I get mine. All right, that's going to be it. See you, everyone, next week.